Hello everyone and welcome back to the Fowler Hour. On today's show I'm joined by Noah Osas. You might know him as Design by Noah on Instagram. He's a brand designer, logo designer and strategist working alongside some really awesome fashion brands recently. He focuses heavily on creating typographic and letter-based logo designs, which we talk about on the show about finding your niche. We also dive into the idea of using grid systems and what they actually mean, because it's quite a contentious topic across social media about logo designs and grids and applying the golden ratio to everything. So we dive quite heavily into that topic as well today. Today's show is brought to you by Skillshare, an online learning platform that will help you take your design skills to the next level. And Aaron Draplin just released a new course about his top 21 productivity tips to improve your design process and basically copy some of his practices. You don't want to miss out on this course, and to get your 2 free months of Skillshare to watch not just that course, but unlimited videos, as many as you can consume in 2 months, head to skl.sh/cfowlerdesign, and that will take you straight through to getting those 2 free months. So upgrade your skills with Skillshare today, and let's get on with today's show. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Fowler Hour. Today, I'm joined by Noah Osas, also nicknamed Bit of Bobby as well, from what he's been saying. But we're going to go with Noah today because the guy is really lovely. You've probably seen some of his work on Instagram, Design by Noah, doing a lot of work with logos, lettering, going for a much more minimalist kind of darker theme, nice high contrast as well. So Noah's going to join us today, talking about a lot of traveling as well, because he's been all over the place recently too. So Noah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome, my man. I'm so glad to be here with you guys.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, we've taken it's been a little while. I think I asked you to do this maybe back in like January, February, yeah, and it's been a while just to kind of fix all this together. But yeah, at the moment you sent me a message being like, I'm going to be in Sicily on this week. And that's it. So we've got to fit it in now, pretty much. So what are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing in Sicily? Like, what's that about?
Yeah, like I took a week off for like the Easter break. I'm out to like just feeling my thoughts. Like I had a lot of things going on the past few months. So like if you observe, I've not been like posting regularly on Instagram. So I had a lot of family issues going on. So I like just took a week to get myself back to balance. So I could like start working again, creating content and just doing stuff again.
Good, good. So are you like in school at the moment, or this is like your full-time thing?
Yeah, this is my full-time thing for 5 years, but I'm currently in school right now.
Right, okay. Yeah, that's really cool though, the fact you've been able to take that time out, because it's super, super important to be able to take those breaks and actually kind of, I'd love to hear more about the travels that you've been on, but can you give people who maybe don't know you or haven't seen your work maybe a bit of an introduction to who you are, where you're from? Because I say I know you're a bit of a traveling man, and you've been all over the place. So do you want to give us a bit of background on that?
I'm going to make this very, very cinematic. What's up, everybody? I'm Noah Bobby Osas. Like, I have lots of names, and I'm originally from Nigeria, born in Germany by Nigerian parents. I grew up in Holland till I was 7, spent 10 years in Nigeria. Then afterwards, I moved to Italy, where I am currently. And I'm still like traveling all over the places. I'm hoping to like be in New York very, very soon, probably this year, by summer.
Oh, sick. So why New York? What's kind of pulling you over there?
Yeah, like that was like, basically it's my dream to like be there. And I know a lot of people there are doing like real stuff there, like in the graphic design world. So I'm trying to like build my connections there as well. Like that's the place I want to stay, like build my own, like a studio. I'm planning on building a studio, like connections with other people, like combine studio with other graphic designers that are based there already. So like, I would like to go there and see how it is there already. How I could live there, how I could cope with the expenses and everything. Then before I make my final move of moving there and creating a studio with other designers there, about 3 of them.
I mean, it's a really good dream to have, man, to be able to, and also the fact that you want to kind of, you don't just want to move there immediately, you want to go and see and investigate and make sure it's going to be a good fit. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people kind of just dive in head first and go, I'm going to move to this place today, and they get there and it's completely not what they were expecting.
Exactly, because I've had my experiences in the past. Like, I've moved to Italy, and actually now I'm seeing what I expected. But at the beginning, it was not like all smooth. It was like really rough. So I had my experiences. So that's why I'm taking this step right now, like taking the time to know the area, know how it works down there before, like, I finally move in to do what I intended to do.
Yeah. So now that you've kind of given us that, I can imagine some kind of B-roll, just like you flying across Europe on like the back of a plane or like a sketchbook, like taking your design travels. Now that we've kind of done the cinematic intro. At the moment, I know you from doing a lot of really interesting lettering work and having a really interesting minimalist style that with just oodles and like pounds and pounds and pounds of texture and gorgeous design in there as well. So how did you get into graphic design? You're talking about knowing people kind of all the way around the world at the moment. You've been back and forth across Europe. How did you get into this in the first place?
Actually, it all started with my mother. But like, actually, I was born in Germany because my mom was like a fashion illustrator. She was first in Italy. Mm-hmm. Then afterwards, she moved to Switzerland, where my elder sister was born. Then Germany. Then afterwards, Netherlands, where my younger sister was born. So she's been like this illustrator. She uses like CorelDRAW, Photoshop, and all this design software. So I was like, working with her as a kid gave me this inspiration, this like aspiration for life of being in this creative industry. She taught me how to use like Photoshop, Illustrator, CorelDRAW. For me, it wasn't like a big deal. I was like studying science. Was a big deal. When I like finished my secondary school, I decided to focus more on design. So like, I got a job in design. I never really knew I was like good like in design or anything like that, but I got a job and like I grew my love for the creative aspect of me, if that was correct, like for the creative part of me, because actually I like doing more of science before, like studying for medicine and all those stuff. But I got a job in design and here I am today. I've been doing this for like about 5 years, and it all started with my mother, working with my mom as a kid.
That's amazing. So, that's really cool to hear, because a lot of people don't have that creative influence in their life at all. So they'll kind of go to college or to university and they'll wake up and go, oh my God, design's a thing. Or being creative is a thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Because their parents are like engineers, or they work in medicine, or they work in civil engineering or something like that, and it's you without that. That's really nice to hear that you had such a strong influence from such a young age as well. So were you always kind of thinking that you wanted to do something creative? But obviously you said you're studying science, but was that kind of, were you doing stuff on the side then as well, like at home and like a hobby?
Yeah, to be sincere, I always liked like creating stuff like with my mother, doing like something creative. But you know, African parents, like I stayed with my grandparents during the time my mom was sick. So I stayed with them. So they converted me to science. I was actually studying art at the beginning. But, like, you know, those African parents would be like, either you study doctor or a lawyer, nothing else exists.
Yeah, I can understand the cultural differences. I was talking to Bless Createx. Talking to Bless a few weeks ago, and he was saying something similar, that it took him a long time to get his parents to come round to the idea of him being a designer. They really did not like it at all. They really did not like the idea.
Well, my parents were cool though, because like they spent more than 20 years here in Europe. They grew here in Europe. So my mom was like open to it. Like, she studied illustration in university, so she was very, very open. My grandparents, oh man, I stayed with them. They were like, you can do arts.
Yeah, you've got to
think of like those local street artists, like those free painters. So,
you got to put down your pencil and put a lab coat on. There's no choice.
So I always like, I did art at the part. So my mom enrolled me back in the days in some like graphic design course when I was like 12, 13 years old. So I was like always doing that at the part, aside normal school studies.
Yeah.
So when I my high school studies, then I got a job as a graphic designer, and at this point I could decide for myself. So
what was that like going straight into the industry rather than going through university? Because a lot of people, and was that in Germany or in Holland?
Yeah,
Yeah. So like, what was that like going in from after 18, I assume, rather than going through university for it?
Yeah, for me, it was like, I already felt like doing graphic design for a long time. So it was not something, I didn't feel like I was doing something new. I was like, I've been into the game. I felt like I've been into the game already. Like, it's something, you know, like those stuff you do when, like, as a kid, and you don't really acknowledge them. Then afterward, you find yourself doing them when you're already grown up. So you'll be like, oh, yeah, I've just been doing this thing. So, like, just continue doing this just to have, like, some money to go to university. Actually, I just, like, I needed some money also to go to university at this point. At that point of my life, I needed some money like, to keep on going in my life. So graphic design was the only thing I knew good enough like to get a job at that point. So that's how I got in. So I was like planning to go to university, but I could not at that point because I didn't have the cash to go to university. And I didn't want to take some loan. And it doesn't like there's no function like that in Nigeria. No one's gonna give you a loan if you don't have like a good collateral. So graphic design was my only option. Because I've been doing that like as a kid with my mom. So I got in, I was like, I got the job, everything was going really smooth, and I felt like I got like real love for graphic design. I've been doing it before, like just like family job, just have to help your parents, like that. But after I got my first job, I felt like the real love for graphic design, and I decided to continue in that lane.
That's a really strong story as well, just to be able to say you've been doing it for so long. The idea that what you've taken from being your passion and it's kind of grown and then you've gone, well, I'm just going to take the leap and actually try and do this full time. That's a really kind of brave thing to do in general, I think. And a lot of people don't see that. So also a lot of people, particularly who will, myself included, I didn't have that. I was creative up until this point of finding design, but you were actually introduced to it, which it makes, I think, a big difference because it means that you've actually seen some of the industry and you've also then got a job and then it's kind of helped you from there. So what did you do next? How did you go from doing that to doing freelance projects and then kind of going back towards school and stuff?
Yeah, actually I was like this general graphic designer that like you would call for like a business card or just without a logo. You call for like, and I would just like do that banner for you. Like just like that.
Just an art worker. Yeah.
Without like some strong kind of graphic design base. Though my mom had that base, but I was all over the place at this point. So I decided to like pick a niche and like focus on that niche and like see what I could do around there. Like become a professional in one particular thing in design because design is like very, very broad.
Yeah.
That's how I like this branding aspect of design. And I did that about like 2 years ago. That's when I started to like to think about doing brand designs. And after I was like, when I was already into brand design, I felt like also the brand design community is like very, very broad. Like you see something like iconography, animal logos, typography and all that stuff. And I said like to check the part that I feel I'm better at. Like normally when I do like these banners, posters, I really like working with typographies. Like design typography, manipulate typography. So that's how I like pick that niche also in the brand design aspect. Like picking typography as my main focus in brand design, like monograms, logotypes and all that. That's how I find myself in this area where I am right now. I'm not really certain where I am right now, but I feel like I'm in a good place where I still have to grow a lot.
That's good to hear though. Then the fact that you recognize that as well is good. To be able to have explored lots of different things like you have up to this point, and I know that you have quite a passion for photography as well, and balancing that too, and the idea that you've been able to pick something and it's been successful, obviously people get really scared about picking a niche. People get really
scared about the idea.
I was scared
because I was like, this is my source of livelihood. So I was like, if I drive my other clients, I don't know if that's the real nice word to use, like push them away, like I just want to do only logo design. I won't be doing this for you again. I won't be doing this for you. If you want to do this, you have to like create a brand for yourself first before I could like work on other brand aspects for you. So I was like, that could like limit my source of income. And at this point, I was living alone. I already moved out of the house. So it was like a real risk to take, but I did it and it was like the best thing I've done in my life. Not the best decisions I've made.
Yeah, and going to that idea, you have to take that leap sometimes. And mm-hmm. when you're picking a niche, I say lots of people get scared about that. And there's yeah. a reason to be scared about that, because it could go wrong. You could pick something where there's, if you don't do your research properly, you can find niches mm-hmm. that are empty, or there is no work in it, or there is one company in that niche who takes all the work. So mm-hmm. you'll be fighting a losing battle the entire way through. But you seem to have found quite a nice spot for yourself, kind of making these logo types, mm-hmm. making these monograms, and building out a brand for yourself that is centered around yeah. that. Now, when it comes to like inquiries and stuff now, are you largely getting things that are focused on what you're showcasing? Are you attracting clients that are fitting what you're sharing? Or are you kind of getting jobs across the spectrum and you're not showcasing them on Instagram?
And that's a good thing. That's what I really like about being like really, really specific in what you're doing. Like 90% of the clients that contact me for what I'm already doing. It's like they see my profile, they say like, this is what I do. So they just contact me for what I do already. And sometimes I also get like some clients that want other stuff. I just refer them to other guys that are like, that are the professionals in those stuff. Like they contact me for like animal logos or other stuff. Or like, yeah, I know somebody that's very good at this thing. It's very, very good at this, but that's not my niche. I refer them outside, but 90% of the clients, I already know what I do, and they contact me for what I do already.
That's insane discipline. Like you, yeah. you would. I am very, very, like that type of mindset is something that I'm very attracted to as a business person, is someone who can turn mm-hmm. work away. Yeah, and when you're saying things like you were living by yourself and you didn't know whether this was going to be a right leap to take, you took it anyway and it turned out well, and then you turn mm-hmm. around just now and say that, oh yeah, like any work that it's not within my specific niche, I either, mm-hmm. You refer it on. And it's so difficult to say no. Yeah, and
I don't know. I don't know, it's very difficult, but when like you say no to a client and you like tell them, like, you know someone that like, this is specialty, they respect you, they do respect you.
Yeah, exactly. And I've found something very similar recently as well, which is that a client I was doing some logo work for and a piece of packaging for and things like a packaging suite for, they wanted to go towards doing some print production and like catalogs and lookbooks and that type of stuff. And that's like not my wheelhouse particularly. Mm-hmm. So rather than just turning mm-hmm. kind of the job down, you refer it on, you find people. And now I have a contact in New Zealand who's really, really good at it.
Wow.
And it makes a massive difference. And I'm sure, as you say, those clients that you refer on, they probably has anyone ever come back to you and been like, thanks for the referral, they were great?
Most of them.
Yeah, and how does that make you feel, mate?
Like very cool. It makes me feel big, actually.
Yeah. Well, like you got a bit of an ego, kind of like a bit of
yeah,
a boost.
Yeah, it makes my head like very big. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I can imagine that completely, because
yeah.
having that appeal to be able to say, this is not what I do, but I know a guy.
I can do it.
Yeah. It's like if you imagine kind of like 50 years ago when you'd have your little community and you would talk to someone and they'd go, oh, my car's broken and there's a problem with it. And they'd be like, oh, well, there's this guy. Like word of mouth is mm-hmm. like such a powerful tool still. And I think
exactly.
that so many people completely underestimate that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're gone,
yeah, you go on.
Okay, but the fact you can refer people on and get that word of mouth, there's every potential that those people will come back to you for what you do.
Mm-hmm. You're right. So that's how actually you start like getting to like create direct jobs. Like many clients that come back to me and they ask me like, okay, this guy made this logo for me and it's like really, really cool. Like the guy referred them to. And they really like the job, but they still like want the feel of what I do in the brand system. Yeah. Like they contact to like creative direct, like every other aspect of the brand. I just get paid just like to tell them do this and do this. So that's how you like also get into like creative direction aspect of design.
Being able
to give to outsource jobs to other people. The clients, most of the times they contact you back. But like this time they have like, they build this kind of trust with you, like, you are like truthful with them that you can't do this stuff, that like, this is not what you do, but you know somebody in your connection that does this. So they like, they believe in you for any other thing they want to do in that brand. So like, they contact you for every other single thing as well.
Do you think it's one of, well, I think this, but I just want to hear your thoughts on it too, but the idea of referring people on, and obviously working with people generally builds the trust the fastest, but when you have someone coming to you, if you can refer them on, you've almost built the same level, and it's like, and they get a good job. Like if you refer them to a good designer and they have a good time with that person, you also have built the same level of trust with them as the person you referred them to.
Yeah, right.
Because you've saying that you're getting these creative direction jobs coming back from it, and that means that they trust you wholeheartedly. It's not just a case of, oh well, we'll hire a Noah to do this job for us, or we'll hire someone else to do it. It's a case of, we want you to sit at our table, kind of like, not like King Arthur, like Knights of the Round Table style. We want you to come and sit at our table and help us, not just design for us, but actually help you.
And also, like, also depends on the kind of people you outsource your jobs to. Like, if I outsource any of my clients to someone else, I trust that person.
Yeah.
Like, he will also give me the freedom to input any of my thoughts into his process. Do I respect every professional for what they do? But if a client contacts me and he wants, like, a feel of what I do in the brand system, but what they need is not actually what I do. So I could, like, give a little kind of directions. And not all creative like taking directions from another creative. Especially good ones, because I will not be associating my jobs to someone that's not capable of doing it. So it also depends on the kind of person you're working with and if they'll be like also truthful with you, faithful with you, like really like open to work with you in every aspect of the brand system.
Yeah, it makes a big difference to be able to have that connection, regardless of whether it's with a client or whether it's with another designer. So have you run into trouble then giving people like other designers you've referred to like feedback or things like that in the past?
Yeah.
Or have you found people to be kind of nice?
Yeah, a lot. Like a whole lot, bro.
Yeah? Can you share any of those or is it not worth it?
Oh man, it's kind of worthy, but I'll just like share a bit of it. One of the time I outsourced a job to one guy, he was really good at what he does. Really, really good. But the client was not feeling the job he was doing for the client. So the client came back to me and was like, I'm not really feeling this job. So could you like put in one or two or talk to the designer? Like, you really understand the brief I sent to you. So could you like put in one or two of your ideas into this system and let's see how it goes out. So I took the guy's work. I contacted the guy. I took what he did already. Then I just like made a few sketch on top of the sketch he already did with like this transparent paper. Then I sent it over to him. And he was like, he totally changed the idea for this brand. And I was like, yeah, but you just try something. I'm not telling you to like use exactly what I sent to you. It's like as a base to create something different and send to the client and let's see what they think. And actually the guy was working like an artist, not like a designer. It's like a designer is supposed to think like to solve problems and how they're going to work like in small, I don't know, in small prints, large scale prints, and what's the message trying to send to the target audience? But the guy was just like thinking about like how beautiful the logo looks to the eyes. So, and the client was they were a big client. They had like this strategy people in the strategy guys in the design team, and they were not like feeling, they were feeling the design, but not what the design was saying to the target audience. So I was trying to fix that for this designer and was all over the place, and end of the day, dropped the job.
Yeah.
That's the kind of problem I had with a lot of designers. Like, I don't know, maybe pride or something like that.
I think it's exactly that, man. Like, I was literally about to say, it sounds to me like people are quite, or some of the people you've dealt with in the past have been quite precious about their work. And I think when you're focused on making pretty pictures and you're focused on not solving problems for your client, if you just want to sit and make pretty logos all day or make nice packaging designs, like you can do that, but you probably shouldn't be working with clients. You should probably be trying to like sell your designs on a store or like on packaging or something like that, because if you're working with clients, you need to be focused on a solution that's going to actually work for them, as you said. Like, you have to fit their strategy, and if you can't if you're blindsided, like, or blinded by your own trying to make the design look attractive rather than practical. Like, I've made a bunch of designs that I wouldn't say are, like, the most pretty things I've ever made, but they fit the brief. And they do the job.
Exactly.
And then they get trademarked, and the client uses them on everything. So it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, it, your own subjective opinion is completely useless. You need to be focusing mm-hmm. on the objective at hand, your mission, whatever that is.
Yeah, like, most, a lot of designers of this age, this contemporary age, they're always like, the first thing they put into consideration is, like, the general aesthetic, the look of the logo, how it looks to the eyes. And yeah, that plays a big role, but it's not, like, the major thing to be considered in logo designing. Because we're designing, we're not, like, drawing. So most of we designers, we draw, we don't design.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, do you think that, speaking of going for the aesthetic first rather than kind of doing any background research or proper strategy research, do you think, like, social media has played a big role in this, where everyone's trying to just look for validation, and they're going, oh, well, this aesthetic does well, or this aesthetic does well, for engagement purposes, but might not be the most practical for the client. So they're just trying to get something that's going to be good for getting likes from other people.
Yeah, you're right. This is where, like, the copycats come in. Like, they just, like, see someone else's logo, and just, like, see a D and see a S, for instance, and they're about to, like, work for a company, and they brief, maybe the name of the brand they're working on starts with a D and an F. They just, like, bring in this logo, manipulate someone to be different from what they see before. Just, like, you know, this mannerism, like, this art history here, this mannerism, where they, like, try to copy old works and make them new. That's what most designers are doing now. Just, like, go on Instagram, see what other people are doing, just, like, copy them and, like, renew them. They're not really, like, doing the main, what you're supposed to do behind the logo design, the strategy, the research, even the aesthetic that I was talking about, like, the beauty of the logo. You're just, like, taking, they're copying everything. I know it's very, very hard to be original these days, but at least you could be unique.
Yeah, I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because, I mean, yeah. I look at, for example, you could look at my work or I could look at your work, and I can pull out mm-hmm. elements of your design work and all of this exactly. type of stuff that is similar to other people or similar to books or similar to old companies. And you can do that no matter who it is or what it is. But what mm-hmm. matters, I think, and I was writing about this in a blog post earlier this week, is the difference between inspiration and copying. Because a lot of people don't know the difference, and it's something that I can't talk to your process. I'd love to hear it. But when I go and do sketching, for example, so I've done the research and all the type of stuff, I've not even put a pencil to paper. But when I come to do sketching, I will never look at what I'm trying to create. So, for example, if mm-hmm. I had to make a logo for a company, and it ended up being that the best direction to take was to do a letter P logo. So rather than going and looking at letter P's, I went and looked at, have you got the Logo Modernism book? The, like, stupid
big. Yeah, I got it.
So I used that Logo Modernism book, and I just would flick through pages, not letters, just any old ones. And just when I got stuck, I would look at different elements. So I'd look at, oh, they've done this corner like this, or they've done this negative space like this, and mm-hmm. try and test, and, oh, they've made a design kind of out of blocks or cubes, and we'll try that and see. But a lot of people feel, and get to your point about feeling like a copycat or being a copycat, a lot of people mm-hmm. just go through and they're like, oh, I need to make a letter P logo today, or a letter logo. Exactly. And they just go and look at that exact thing, and then the front of your brain is just full of these letter P logos, so you're just gonna copy it. Like, for me it makes perfect sense to be like, oh, you don't want to copy something, well, don't go look at those things. But mm-hmm. a lot of people don't see the distinction,
because our brains work in a really, really funny way. And literally, I don't really know how to, like, decide, like, they just pick a brand, contacts them, and just, like, pick the first letter and just, like, make a logo P with it. It doesn't work that way. Like, you have to, like, check, like, the industries of that brand, the industry of that brand, how, like, the people that are already doing good in that brand, how that brand system works, how they use that logo. Like, let's say, for instance, I'm working for, like, a fashion brand. Let's say, for instance, we work for a fashion brand, and we have we have like Louis Vuitton, we have like Giorgio Armani. You see the way like they use that brand. You don't just like come up with like a G for Giorgio Armani, for instance, and just like make something out of G. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Because they use this logo on different materials and on different sizes. So you also have like the logotype, the monogram. That's like different icons, like the system, the full brand system. But design of this is just like think of like just to make a monogram or something like that. Just like make, I don't know if I'll call that a monogram as well, because it's not being well thought of. And a lot of designers have contacted me and have told me like how I do this stuff, like why do I use grids or all this stuff? Actually, you don't really need to use grids for your logo design. I'm literally going to another topic right now, but I have to like clear this off.
Yeah, man, go for it.
So you don't need to use grids or all this stuff like to make your logos. It's the thoughts behind your logo is what like it's more important. Like they really ask me this stuff every single day, like for the grids and other stuff. I don't really like the grids, it's what I do. What I like doing grids, just like keep my logo looking nice. But the thought behind the logo is what matters. But a lot of designers is just like sketch a logo and just lay a grid on top. It gets me annoyed every single day I see this on Instagram. The grid is not even following the logo. It's like maybe like they could see like 1 or 2 circles from the Fibonacci sequence fits in that logo. It's like, oh yeah, I did this logo with Fibonacci sequence. Just like to get engagement. And this is where social media comes in. So just to get engagement on social media. Not to grow themselves or to please their clients. They're not pleasing their clients. They're not growing themselves. They're going down every day, copying, doing false things. And like, it really makes me feel bad seeing these things on social media.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And it just goes through, I think it comes in waves. Like I mean, when I first started putting stuff on Instagram kind of 2 years ago at this point, it was very apparent that no one really knew what they were doing. So everyone was just trying loads of different stuff. But since then, kind of over the last 2 years, there are very few people doing things that are different. Like I went through, to your point about grids and things like that, I preach this like all the time. I will stand on the hill and scream at people about this if I have to. But things like the golden ratio or just using a square grid system. Have you heard of Ethan Fender?
No, I haven't.
I'll send you his account in a bit. But he's a really awesome designer from Ohio. But he uses square grids in almost everything. So like squared paper. In almost all of his designs, but he manages to find completely unique ways to make these designs using these grid systems, but you don't have to. And I distinctly remember in the Logo Geek group that I'm on Facebook, someone was like, hey, it's my first time posting here. I've just learned how to use kind of the golden ratio in my design, and I've made this thing. and they try to design like a bell logo, but rather than doing sketching and all this type of stuff first to get the idea, I mean, if you look at my sketchbooks are crap. Like, I can't draw for
people.
For shit.
People think they're crap, but that's the idea. That's the key thing in the brand system. That's the idea. That's where it all starts.
I mean, the owner of I can't remember his name. I think it's Oki Sato or something like that. The guy who owns Nendo in Japan, which is like a massive product design company. He shows his sketches quite openly, and he basically says that, yeah, they're crap, but they get the idea down, and then the idea is out of my head, so I can think about the next thing.
And Yeah,
so many people just don't do that. Anyway, back to the golden ratio person. They tried to make a logo using the golden ratio from the very start. Like, they thought that these grid systems were designed to be used from the get-go, and they're so not. Like, as you do with your posts, man, like, the second you look at your work, I know it from my perspective, it's super, super clear that you use it as a refinement tool. Like, and that's how it should be used. You should be using it to refine your work, not use it to start with.
And that's why I also make some kind of short process videos, because they ask me this question, so I make short process so they could see what I'm doing. Actually, like, I'm like the rough sketch below the grid. I just like get up like laying lines, just like see what comes out of the lines like that. I sketch like made up to hundreds of sketches or 50s depending on the project I'm working on. Then I just like have to clean up the sketch with the grid. Sometimes I also clean up my rough sketches before I grid them. Just like I just grid them also to make them look clean, to make me feel confident to what I'm doing. because I studied this kind of this aesthetic stuff in science back in the days, in physics, like the composition and all this stuff. So I like try to put those things I knew before into the logo design. But when I just like wake up one day, just like lay grids from some kind of composition Fibonacci and trying to see what letter falls out of it. I already like made my sketches already, made my strategy, done my strategy, made my research, everything. Then it really just like to clean up the sketch you already have. It's not compulsory to have it. There's some logos design you have to do. You can't even apply a grid on it because there's too much cost. But I see people forcing themselves to put on grids, like putting on, it's making me crazy, man.
Yeah, it's really weird.
I really exercise more on this.
I know in the past I've looked at something and gone, I didn't make this with a grid, but
looks nice.
I know that if I put a grid over this, I'll get like twice the engagement. And I just, but I know that. I'm self-aware enough to look at it and go, this is bullshit, but I know it works. So I didn't end up doing it, actually posting it or making it in the end, but I know that that stuff works. And
yeah, it works though. It works because like we have like this kind of people that just see a grid. They don't even know how the grid is being done, but as well, they just like see some lines on top of a logo. Like, wow, I'm going to put a leg. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Double tap.
Double tap knockout, kind of like, oh god, someone needs to shake these people around a little bit.
Yes, man.
But it's really good to hear that you don't do it just for show, because and that it is kind of a key part of your process, but it is a refinement thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. Like I have like a lot of rough, and I'm planning like to post more of my rough sketches these days, so people could know that it's more of a refinement thing, like you said. Instead of, the people think I just like wake up in the morning, just like list some lines and get some logo out of it. I get these DMs every day and I'm tired of responding.
Yeah, man.
I completely
understand why. Like I mean, you know, I haven't been posting very much recently anyway, but obviously when I was, I'd get the same stuff and it just becomes, I am very grateful for every message I get, but when you're answering the question over and over, like it does become tiring, and it does become difficult to explain the idea that everyone does things differently, and you need to just go and make things and then figure out the best way for you to do it. Because so many people, as we started talking about, I mean, copycats and all that type of stuff, that obviously when you're learning, it's fine. But the second you start wanting to like promote yourself or your services or what you do for people, try and help them with their businesses, you can't be going around like just pulling this stuff out your ass. Because one day, and I know this has happened, like I had a client once ask me, they were a startup, and they said, hey, can you, when you made a post about the logo you made for us on Instagram, you showed kind of the grids that you used to make it. I said, yeah, I did, because they're the grids that I used. And he said, could you mock it up on some grids and send that image to us, because we'd like to put it in our presentation for the investors? And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. That's stupid. Like, but this is the point. Like, some people think that these little motifs, these little aesthetic pieces that we apply just to, or we don't just apply it because of aesthetic, but you apply it to show the process, but they feel that these aesthetics have some kind of power. When in reality, we both know that we put them on there to show the process. We're not there. Like, if you took it away, I wouldn't feel any different. Like, if you started making and posting content that was just as is without your grid structure, like, I'm a designer. I can see how you would have built it.
Like,
yeah.
So this guy contacted me some months ago, and this guy always like, he's a good guy. He likes what I do, but he has been like doing this kind of grid system, like what I do, some stuff like that. And he contacted me, like, wanted to know more about what I do. Then I went down to his profile and I saw everything I've already been doing. He was doing great. But the only thing I told him was, like, if you take off your grid from your logos, does the logo feel good to you?
Yeah.
Does it feel nice to you? Does it look nice to you, the logo, if you take off the grid? If it does not, then you still have to work on your sketch, not the grid. Because the guy was getting, like, a lot of engagements from the grid. But the logo itself, because these people that give you an engagement, they're not your clients. They're not your clients at all. And if you're going to be working for your clients, the clients are not going to be using the logo you created for them with the grid. I'm going to be using the logo without the grid, obviously. So the logo has to look good without the grid. It has to function the way the client intended the logo to function, the way you intended the logo to function. So yeah. I have to like emphasize this for this guy. And today he's doing really, really good. Really, really good.
Well, that's really good to hear. So, moving through to the idea of, at the moment, you're focusing largely on social content. I know that you don't have a website, but that's not the question I want to ask. I want to change, twist this around a little bit. So I was going to ask you originally if you found any of the limitations to being just on social and not having a website, but we're going to skip over that. I want to change my question. So when it comes to targeting the right people on social media, and particularly Instagram, which is where you're largely posting your content, what do you think is the best way to do that? Because I know from my perspective that a large portion of our audiences will always be designers. That's just the facts, like, because they like the visuals, they like the logos, they like the identity stuff. But how do you go out of your way to target people who will be potential clients?
The funny thing, a large portion of my audience, I think they are designers, but like 50%. The other 50% are like divided, like some are models, fashion brands, because those are people I reach out to most of the times. I reach out to them by myself. I go into hashtags. I go to some hashtags, putting some keywords like startup business, fashion business, fashion brand, new fashion brand. I go into them. They're like, I propose. I make proposals to them. That's how I started off. But these days, for the past like 5 to 6 months, I've been getting them to contact me directly without doing anything.
So you built that. So when you're making content now, are you still? Obviously, you made those connections early on by reaching out and talking to people. How would you pitch that to people? Because a lot of people, and myself included, I find it very strange to cold call
just
people.
Like DM somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a case of like, I'm happy to go and talk to people, but if I want to go and like pitch them something, I find that process, because if someone did that to me, I would be like, I don't want to do anything with you, because it's like getting a phone call from a number you don't know. It's kind of, for me personally, I think
you're right.
It depends on how you want to approach it, because a lot of people say from the start, you go and look at a bunch of people who are like business advisors or entrepreneurial people on YouTube. They're all like, go and just message 1,000 people on Instagram in a day. If you get one hit, then you've got a job.
It doesn't work like that.
I don't think it works like that either. Like, so how are you doing it differently? Because if you're approaching these brands, or were previously approaching these brands, what was your what was your entry point? How did you, if you don't mind sharing some secrets, how did you go about that?
But like, first of all, you have to like build some kind of credibility for yourself. Your profile has to be like very good. You have to get a website. Though I don't have one, but you have to get a website, like, to work on some big projects. If some big place contacts you, have to like get a website. And I want to say, like, your content has to be like really, really good. You have to get really, really good content. You have to like be up to date. And then you contact them. This is what I literally do. When I first contact them, I get to know about them first. It's like DM. They're like, wow, nice profile. I really like your stuff. I really like what you're doing. Then we begin like start a discussion. Then I begin like talking with them. Then literally they ask me like, what do you do? I see you do logos. Maybe I might need a logo for my business. And I start like pitching other stuff for them. That's how we get to business. Majorly for the big clients. But for like the average clients, I just like go straight to the point. I like appreciate them for their profile. Then I like tell them like, yeah, I could tell you, like, I see like you're doing a great job, but I feel like you could do more with a good brand system. I could help you do that if you're down.
Yeah. But it's you're not going in with like a hard pitch. You're not like, your logo's shit. Your branding is crap. No. We've got to fix it. But people do that.
I should tell you my story. I've done that back in the day. Like, yes, like, bro, your logo is not good at all. I was spelled in capital letters. Then what this guy told me was like, I like it. Get off my DM. That's what he just told me.
Yeah,
straight.
That's exactly what I would do too. And this is the same in one of the conversations in a fairly recent future video about value-based pricing. They were talking about the same thing, which is you can't, if you walk into a room and tell someone that something they have is kind of gross, even if it is gross, even if they're literally holding like a dog poop in a bag on their table, like if you tell them that it's bad and it's gross and they should change it, then they're going to get really protective over it.
Yeah, exactly.
Regardless of what it is. So even if their design is rubbish, even if their identity stuff isn't top notch, isn't focused, never ever, yeah, you have to talk to them nicely. Like, never ever go in with that hard sell.
Like, these days, first of all, let's like ask them, like, who did the logo design? I really like your logo. Who made it? So that's, I go like that. I like your logo. Who made it? So I try to like know the person that made your logo. There was a time I was pitching a design for like this cool brand, and I got to discover that the person that made the previous logo was my good friend on Instagram as well. That made the logo for them. So it's like these days I always like ask them before I also like pitch any idea for them. So you also get an idea of the designer that made it, if like, because you might be seeing something from your own point of view. It might look bad from your point of view, but maybe from the designer point of view, they might have some reasons to what they do. So you have to like also know the background of the designer that made the previous logo if you're looking to do a rebrand or pitching a logo. But actually, I do more of like this startup business. Currently, for the past like 5 to 6 months, like I said before, my clients have changed a bit. But before, it used to be like more of startups. So I don't really have this problem of like pitching ideas for already made brands.
Yeah, so that's really good to hear that you've kind of moved away from the bandwagon of telling people that their logos are bad.
It's like really, really back in the days, really, really back. Like,
My
freelance do this.
But that's a lesson that everyone listening can learn, is that don't do that. Like, treat people with respect, because if you don't, they're going to try and ignore you, or they're going to come back around with something really nasty later on. Especially when it comes to doing things like, if you see a logo design that you feel is potentially someone else's, as Noah says, like, ask somebody before you try and cold pitch, because if you go and cold pitch and someone in your industry finds out that you're telling them to the client that a design they made was bad, that's really not good, because you don't want to be burning bridges when you're early in your career, regardless of whether it's just on Instagram, regardless of whether it's just on Twitter or Dribbble or whatever. People talk to each other. And I mean, that's how I'm connecting with everyone who comes on the podcast. Like, it's not, it's really not difficult to reach out and talk to people. And there are people in my fairly local area that I don't talk to because they're not very nice people, and that they're like down the road. And if you can burn, like, if I don't talk to people like that down the road from me, then why would I want to talk to someone halfway around the world who tells me the logo I made's bad? Like,
it's so funny.
Word gets round. Remember that.
Yeah. And also, you don't have like, I was about to say something that just escapes me right now. I'll try to remember. You could go on with the conversation.
I think that what you're doing is really interesting. And I really like the mentality that you've kind of explained behind all of this as well. And that it's really nice that eventually when you build up that credibility, so that like the step one, guys, is get that reputation, be consistent, make a kind of a presence for yourself. And then if you want to go and start messaging other people or getting into hashtags and finding other accounts to talk to, then do that. Just be respectful. And eventually, as you found out, as I found out now as well, Noah, is that people will eventually come to you. Because if you're consistent with what you create and you show your process and you explain the reasons why you did X, Y, and Z, that's how people will find you. And I think that's probably one of the biggest questions I get all the time, which is, how do I find clients? And I'm like, I don't know, mate. They come to me.
Exactly.
I can tell you how to do that.
Just drop your email.
Yeah. Just send them a DM with your email address and like a shady sign-up link.
And also, like a lot of us, like when we like post our logo designs, we use like this hashtag, like logo design, design talks, logo inspiration. Clients are not going to input like logo inspiration. They're searching like for designers. You might try to like put something like startup business, stuff like that, logo designer, stuff like, think as a client. I'm a client. I go to Instagram. I'm looking for a logo designer. what will I search first? I'm a search designer. Then people ask me, like, why do I use like this username, Designed by Noah? Because like, it's designed by. It's really, really common to be on Instagram for designers. And I simply tell them, I put that just because like when clients come to Instagram, just like type in design. It's like this high possibility or probability of me popping up because I have that in my username. And maybe among the people that have like this username, Designed by Noah, I might be maybe at the top 50 at least. So these things work also for you to get clients. Because like you might have like the best portfolio in the world. You must like have like the best logos, like you know everything, the strategy and all that stuff. But if you don't know how to put yourself out there, you won't get the clients as well. So not just like posting around stuff every day, or just like posting good stuff. Because some people might say like keep on posting good stuff and clients will contact you. They won't contact you, bro. You'll be there posting good stuff and the clients will be where they are, contacting other guys that like not doing as much as you're doing, but know how to put themselves out there. And you don't have to get to like 10,000 followers, 20,000 followers for you to get clients. I started getting clients to contact me at 2,000 followers. So also you don't have to like waste your money and buy followers. Keep those money for your house rent.
Yeah, exactly. There's no point. Like there are certain conventions that, I mean, the tips of, as you say, of having design in your username or in the first line of your profile and all this type of stuff does work. Like it does help. Especially when I can't do it anymore because my search history is obviously filled with searching for designers. So if I type in your username, it's all messed up because I'm not searching kind of first time organically. But to be able to see that result, and it's kind of like, it's all these little tricks that people used to do for Google search as well. So you do, you'd name things certain ways, or you do SEO to kind of rank a bit higher for certain keywords. And it's the same principle. It's not just a case of, for me, the big idea, like if you think about a pie chart, like the biggest portion is making consistent content, like consistent high quality content that brings value to the people you're trying to target. Like that's the big portion. But then there are little slivers and little other portions that are like, make sure your account's finely tuned, like you're talking about with the usernames and stuff, because that shit works. And I know it works because it's like people have found me doing that as well.
Yeah, because like I've received emails like, hey, you know what? I like your job. I got to like discover you while searching for like logo designer on Instagram. Yeah, like send me an email like that. A lot of clients, they do send me email like, just go to discover me from this place. And I literally ask my clients every time. Also, if you want to like keep your clients, like want to know your source of clients, like keep your clients coming, you have to like ask every client that contacted you how they contacted you. So you can like keep the door open for other clients to come in.
And that's exactly what you should do on your email form. Like, I don't know, do you just have people just email you directly? So you can either do that, as you say, like follow up with them and ask them that question. But if you have a website with a contact form, just put an option on there where they have to select where they found you. Like it's super easy. People will do that. It's not like, I mean, my contact form now is like, I think it's like 8 questions long because I got so many people just trying to waste my time. But but I also want like certain types of clients. So if I want certain types of clients, you have to ask like specific questions. But when it comes to that, if you don't know where people are coming from, man, that's such a good point. And it's something that people completely overlook, because if you're not looking at your analytics and where people are finding you, if you're not looking at your analytics and finding out that, oh, actually the demographic you're hitting is like 12 to 15 year olds in Japan, like, and your target is you want to be hitting, and your goal is to be resonating with like 30 to 50 year olds in Boston in the States, like you're messing up somewhere. So you have to pay attention to this stuff. And as weird as it sounds that you can't just make something and put it out there, you have to have some kind of business head on.
That's what I'm trying to say. Well, exactly what I'm trying to say. And also like tag locations when you post out your logos, like tag the locations. Like I always like put the location I made my logos from. So like people in that area might recognize the business you made that logo from.
Yeah.
But like also find your logo on the internet. Like, oh yeah, I know that logo. I've seen that logo down the street. So maybe let me contact this designer because he made the logo for that logo that I've been seeing down the street.
That's a good point. That's another great tip. I think all of these are going to be put in some kind of, I might put these all in the show notes in a bit, but my God, like, it's little things, isn't it? It makes me forget, because I haven't been posting, obviously, for a while. I've been focusing on client work, but you forget about these things, and you forget about the idea that you need to be doing more than just making content and putting it out there. You have to have that business head on your shoulders as well. And I do super, super appreciate, and really, it's nice to hear that coming from you, because I didn't know what to expect when I phoned you up, I'm not going to lie. Some of, like, I love your design work and what you talk about on there, but some of it you don't keep up with, and it's like some bits are not shown, some bits are kind of you keep to yourself, and all this stuff, and everyone's
I'm very, very close.
So it's nice to hear that you've got such a business focused mind going on up there.
Thanks, man. Actually, in real life I'm this like very, very open guy. I'll be like, oh yeah, let's go to party today. Or like on social media, I'll be like, oh yeah, just post that thing. Because I'm also
very reserved and like, this is how we do things here.
Well, I mean, I'm more focused in real life.
Yeah, I mean, we can't ignore the fact that you rescheduled our recording today from yesterday because you
for barbecue.
You sent me a message like, my mates have just turned up with a barbecue. Can we reschedule? I'm like, it's a bit rude, but sure, I'm not going to deny you a barbecue.
No, I was like, bro, I have to like fix this call. Like, I was so excited to be on the call yesterday. Then after like a couple of hours, they all came in like they usually do every time. It's like, oh, bro, barbecue. And I was like, oh, man, barbecue.
Can't really say no to that though, can you?
And it was like close to the sea. I was like, bro, with the view and everything, with the smoke, with the good sun.
Like, what are you saying about like my call? Is it not as beautiful as the ocean? Like,
no, it is.
on that note, Noah, we're going to wrap up the show today. So where can people find you on the internet?
On Instagram. By like, username Design by Noah. Just like type in Design by Noah, then I'll pop up with my big head.
Yeah, that ego is really going to shine through. It's been lovely chatting to you, man. All of those links are going to be in the description down below for you guys to go and check out. We're going to be hopefully trying to improve some bits on the show as well in the next coming weeks. So thank you for listening to all these new episodes as they have come out. And hopefully you've pulled out some really good Instagram tips from that as well. So yeah, don't go around hard-pitching people. Make some valuable content and talk to people in a niche that you want to work in. Like, that's a big thing that I think you should take away from today, is go and find a niche you want to work with and really dive hard into that, as Noah's done. So yeah, thank you very much, Noah, for joining us on this episode of the Fowler Hour, and yeah, we'll see you guys next time. Bye for now.